Hey guys, welcome to our podcast at the Clemson Foothills Church. We're glad you're here. Join us as we discover what the Bible says about Jesus loving God and serving each other. Feel free to visit our website at clemsonfoothills.com and find us on Facebook at Clemson Foothills Church. At CFC, we're just a group of people following Jesus and helping others do the same. So hopefully this podcast will be useful to you. Now let's dive into the episode for this week.
Jumped into that last week, and boy, that's one of that's quite honestly one of my favorite chapters. I mean, it's really phenomenal. I mean, we've gotten to this place where for four chapters, boy, there's a lot of deep theology, particularly if we didn't grow up as a Jewish person. Okay, there's a lot of depth. The chapters 1 through 4, 5 is coming out of it just a little bit, and then 6, man, what an incredible idea. You know, I mean, Paul starts out saying, you know, this grace, it's so great, it's so wonderful, it's so amazing. Shouldn't we go on sinning? Right? Shouldn't we continue that? And he says, by no means. Don't you remember that you who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And Paul goes in to write to the Roman Christians about this idea of what it looked like to be buried with Jesus in death, right? It's one of the most like vivid illustrations of baptism that you have in the Bible. And again, here's my hope, and I hope it's yours as well, all right? Is it's super easy in churches to kind of like gather yourself around under the guise of like, well, what does your church teach? And what does your church teach? And well, you know what CFC teaches is this, and what like Alive teaches is this, and all of that. And here's my hope for all of us is that that gets broken, right? It's this idea of let's be people who conform to the word, all right? And that's not fighting against anyone. That's not, you want to know what, man? I don't know who's preaching what and teaching what and what their ideas were and all that kind of stuff. Here's what I know is what we're hearing in this room, all right? And so let's be that person, okay? Let's be those people. Right? That isn't, we're not deciding what the doctrine of the Clemson Foothills Church will be, but we'll be a people who are conforming ourselves to the Word. And where we find ourselves not in conforming to the Word, we're a people who repent and turn and be conformed to His Word. Okay? And so I just say that because that's just one of those things, man. We get in these ridiculous, like, it just is crazy what the Christian world is saying about some of the things that's in God's Word. And it's so easy to get caught up in kind of like the philosophical debates of what every church is doing, rather than going, but what am I doing? And man, am I even conformed to this? Right. Am I hearing the word and going, man, I don't know what anybody else is hearing, but man, I'm hearing what Paul is teaching here, okay? And so Steve covered these verses last week. That's a 24-year-old guy right there, all right? And that was what happened right there. That's when I was baptized. I learned, hold your nose, because... Man, I think I had about a gallon's worth of snot come out, but that was it, 1997 right there, 24 years old, and that right there, and here's what the crazy thing about Romans 6 is that he's not talking about a badge that you wear. He's saying, you want to know, you're entering the kingdom, right? This is you're coming into a covenant family with God at baptism. That's a beautiful thing about Romans 6. Where it's not going, oh, I have this badge, now I'm a Christian. And everyone that asks you, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, because I was baptized. No. Man, the blood of Jesus made me a Christian. Amen. All right? And the thing about this is he said, you want to join and enter the kingdom, you will be baptized in my name. Okay? And so that happened in June of 97. And then there was this little 19-year-old girl there a few months later. That was the same, it wasn't in the same place. We were in the same church, but that was in Thomasville, Georgia. Mine was in Tallahassee, Florida. And then there's another lady there I threw in. You know who that is? She's sitting right there.
I was like, do you not recognize yourself?
It's Lillian. Right? I was just putting some things up. I said, I've got Lillian's baptism right here. I look at it every day just for nothing. I really do that. But the truth of the matter is that, again, it's that idea of, man, you know, you've got to consider this. Sometimes we, golly, I hope not. I hope that when you were baptized into Christ, it wasn't some long forgotten thing. Right? It was one of those things going, man, this is where the rubber met the road, man. When it came to not just God's covenant, but Him going, hey, come and enter my kingdom. And you know, here's the deal, man. There is never a reason to be ashamed that that is where you go and enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
All right? I mean, that is like one of the most amazing things right there. And if you were a Jew reading the book of Romans, okay, and you or any of Paul's writings, here's what Paul does with baptism, is Paul describes, right, and so does Peter as well, is this idea of, hey, you know, when you're baptized, it isn't just this symbolic ceremony that you do. He equates it, Peter equates it with Noah and being saved through water. And Paul writes about it like it's the Exodus, like God's people coming from captivity into the promised land. And he said, listen, if you want like New Testament circumcision, it's baptism, man. That's what he says to the Colossian church. He said, you are circumcised at baptism, and it's the cutting off of the sinful nature from your heart by the hands of Jesus. All right? And he equates it all with Jesus' teachings of, hey, this is how we've been talking about what sin and death do and how we're dead in our sins before this, okay? And he's saying, no, this is, you get another chance. This is how you're born again. All right? This is really amazing stuff. And Paul hasn't finished telling the whole story, okay? It's because Paul's about to be introducing this idea of, hey, here's why this is all possible, because God comes and lives inside of us at that through his Holy Spirit. Yeah. Listen, I'm just saying, man, if you want to be, and hopefully, as an apprentice of Jesus, and as just a Bible geek, I hope, is this idea of, man, these teachings are some of the most rich in the entire scripture, right, when he's describing this. And so, again, the battle lines might be drawn that your experience, you may have experienced something, said, but Keith, that's not my experience when I've gone to church, all right? And here's the deal with that, is that's kind of like neither here nor there. Again, it's the idea of when we're faced with it in the scripture of going, man, will this be my new reality though? Will I conform to this? This is phenomenal news that we're talking about here. And then at the end, so we hit verse 12, okay? And after talking about what happens when you're baptized into Christ and dying and meeting him and rising to new life again, he uses this word, therefore. Now, let me hit the next slide right here, okay? Because I hope you are, if you don't do this, you are people who write in your Bible and mark up your Bible and have a journal and are writing notes. Because here's my greatest fear as we're going through these letters, is that we sit here and we treat this like church. Okay, what I mean by that is I come and I sing and then I listen to a dude say some things and then we leave, all right? Like, to me, this changes who we are, all right? And so, again, if I'm coming here and going, no, you don't understand, I've heard that, I know this, I don't need to be doing all that kind of stuff, I'm going to say, listen, maybe take another shot and, like, examine yourself. Here's why I'm saying that. This Roman church that we're talking about, if you jump forward, because it's easy to depersonalize this and just see it as kind of like all of these teachings. In chapter 16, Paul actually addresses 28 different people who are disciples in the Roman church, all right? And he's addressing them. He's saying, hey, this is my friend, and this is my this. Now, here's what's crazy about it is the brothers and sisters who he is writing to, almost half of them that he's greeting are missionaries, ministers. Okay, they call them apostles, meaning the little a apostle. The idea of a missionary, ministers, church leaders, okay? This isn't just a church of folks that didn't know anything about anything, and he has to write this to teach them things, okay? Right? He's writing this to presumably a congregation that is full of people who are very active as disciples, mature as disciples, but it teaches us a lesson, is we have to continually be realigned to God's ways. Continually, like, looking up and going, man, okay, am I going to become a student of the Word of God? Right? And I don't know about you, man, I'm telling you, the amount of time and effort and energy it takes to dig in and continually realign my mind to the Word of God, it takes a minute to do that. Right? And so again, my hope isn't that we're just not doing this, but I just put this slide up because, again, there's so many things that we have to do to become a student of the Word of God. And Paul is teaching us, I hope, to pay attention to these, like, connecting words. Therefore, right, since this has happened, since you've been baptized in this way, he says, don't let sin reign. So here's the assumption. Here's the implication, really. Is the idea of even when you've been baptized into Christ, the choice remains to allow sin to reign. Being baptized into Christ didn't zap away temptation. It didn't zap away habit. It didn't zap away those things. Right. All right? And so he's saying, and I hope that in our minds we're thinking, like, oh man, let me consider this. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Okay? That sin can be obeyed, right? So we're just consider these things, right? It's this idea of don't let sin reign. If you've been baptized into Christ, don't let sin reign any longer, okay, in your mortal bodies. And don't present your members to sin as instruments to be used for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead and your members to God as instruments to be used for righteousness, okay? That, you know, like when we say, like, God, we want to join you in the work that you're doing. That's what he's saying right here, okay? This is the heart behind, if I really want to join God in the work that he's doing, he's saying this, you have to stop presenting your members or offering or being used by sin. He said, instead, offer yourself, present yourself, say, I'm here. What your work is, I want to be aware of in order to join you in that work, okay? That's what he's saying, and he's saying, listen, it's a conscious decision for this. Okay? It's a conscious decision. Now, here's the interesting thing. We don't know the backstory of any one of the people in the Roman church and like where they're coming from, what their starting place is. Here's what I do know. They all have a story. We all have a story as well. All right? Don't let your story get in the way of obedience. Okay? And the reason why I say that is because what ends up happening is my story begins trumping, like, God's word going, no, but you don't understand, Keith, what you said, that it's a conscious decision. No, no, not for me. No, actually for you and for me. Like, that's the hard teaching here. Because you just sound like, man, what's wrong with you, Keith? Like, man, can't you have any empathy? Can't you have any sensitivity? No, well, this is what the word is teaching us, right? And going, oh, man, there's this idea that God actually empowers us to do this, right? So present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead and your members to God as instruments to be used for righteousness. You know what's interesting? Remember all the way back to Genesis 3, right? Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, to master, but you must master it, right? Okay? Remember we were talking a couple weeks ago that disciples will reign in life. All right. Here's the interesting thing. When you have become a disciple of Jesus, when you have met in the waters of baptism, okay, what's true of you is the same thing that's true of Jesus. Okay, I want you to think about that. All right. That's the thing is when you have been raised, when you die and you are risen again, right? What's true of Jesus is true of you. Exactly, right? And so there's this aspect of this, even studying out and him teaching his teachings on baptism, is he's helping us understand you aren't a victim to sin. Like, no, you have power and authority, right? But sometimes it's like when our mindset isn't there, we're just kind of like, no, man, it's just kind of hitting me all over the place. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there before, right? He says, offer your bodies as to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members to God as instruments to be used for righteousness, for sin will have no mastery over you. Have you ever thought that sin has mastered you? Have you ever had that thought before? Yeah. Like, I can't get out from underneath this.
Yeah.
Like, it's too hard. I can't do it, okay? So here's the interesting thing is let's take a page out of Jesus' book here, literally, but absolutely how he lived this, okay, is when Satan attacked Jesus in the desert, all right? There was something Satan was trying to do is, let me knock you off your horse. Let me get you not aligned with what God wants you to be aligned with. And Jesus answered each request with a true scripture. Okay, so it's this idea of going, okay, sin will have no mastery over you because you are not under law, but under grace. It's, here's this idea of when we're feeling like, man, I can't get out from underneath this, okay? It's, we have to go to the scripture. What does the scripture say about this? All right, and so we've just got to be a people that do that. He says, what then? Again, he goes back. Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? No way. Don't you know if you present yourselves as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to and have been freed from sin. You became enslaved to righteousness. This is one of the things that Jody brought up on Thursday, right? Is this idea of Paul begins using another metaphor, right? He spent four chapters talking about this covenant relationship of us coming in and working with God and reigning together and all of these things. He's saying, but here's the one thing, here's another metaphor that goes along with that. We're slaves of God, not slaves of sin. We're a slave to who we offer ourselves in obedience to, right? And so, again, he's just reminding us as we go through this, though you were a slave to sin, you obeyed from the heart. He says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Like, just a quick, like, view of these last verses of Romans 6, I think his point is pretty clear, right? Is you died to sin, you can't live in it any longer, right? That's not how it is. That's not what God's will is. God didn't coin the term like, but you'll not, you know, God's like realm that he speaks in, it isn't this idea of him going, yeah, but they're not perfect, okay? No, he's like, I've made it clear. We must stop sinning, all right? Like, there has to be a choice to that, all right? We can't any longer be slaves to sin, right? And so I think he's making it pretty clear. He's like, you used to offer your body this way. It's interesting. He said that you used to present your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Isn't that crazy how sin leads to more sin?
Right.
Isn't that crazy what it produces inside of us, okay? And he's like, but now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to this really great word, sanctification, which is this formation, this forming of us into the likeness of Jesus. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So what benefit did you reap from those things that you are now ashamed of? This is a phenomenal question right here. All right? because there's something that is required of all of us as we've been reading this and in this letter is to become acquainted with my relationship with sin and death. What's my view? Am I in agreement with God? Am I aware of what's going on in my own life? He says, what benefit did you reap from the things that you are now ashamed of? Right? When you think of missing the mark, when you think of disobedience, when you think of sin, he's like, what did you reap from those things? What benefit came from those, right? For the end of those things is death. But now, freed from sin and enslaved to God, you have your benefit leading to sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the payoff of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? This sentiment that Paul is writing at the end, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the entire idea of heaven. Right? Paul doesn't, the biblical writers, outside of some symbolic use, there isn't like a place we're going to go to. Like up in the clouds, like this place that like is this surreal, symbolic place that we just are kind of like, no. It's Jesus coming and eternally living with us in an embodied reality, in a physical reality, in a life void of all of the effects of sin and death. Right? A world that every human being would do anything to get into. Right? If you describe the concept of eternal life and there being no more tears and there's no more sin, in fact, that doesn't even exist in the terminology. Like your understanding wouldn't be that. It would be just the natural outpouring of Jesus to everyone. Right? That there was no more wrestling. Right, that every human being would go, sign me up to be there for eternity.
Yeah.
Right, that's what he's talking about here. Right, that's exactly what he's saying. He's like, pay very close attention. Sin is a terrible liar.
Yeah,
because it's promising things that is going to take you to places you don't want to be.
Yeah.
All right, and so again, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to think about this story of the prodigal son, okay? I want you to think about what it would be like if the prodigal son came home, right? And his dad met him. And just like we read in Scripture, right? There's a celebration, right? And he's like, thank you. Thank you that you're back. Come in. I'm going to give you a big old hug and I'm slaughtering like animals for this picnic we're going to have. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be this huge celebration because I'm so happy. What if there was the next chapter that was told? Could you imagine the son going, man, that was really cool. You know what dad did? It was really great. I blew everything. Right? And I came back and he gave me a party. I wonder if he'll do it if I tried it again. Right? Could you imagine how tragic that story would be? Could you imagine how out of place that story would sound? Could you imagine the idea of the prodigal son going, man, that was so good, and his generosity and gift was so amazing. You know how I'm going to get more of that? I'm going to continually disobey him so he'll keep doing that. All right? That is crazy.
Yeah.
To think about, right? Yet, honestly, that's kind of the story that's told about Christianity.
Yeah.
That's what Paul's trying to bring home, is you mean because God's generosity and his gift and his grace is so wonderful, we should go on sinning? Like, absolutely not. And so, again, this is really the illustration of this section, is this idea of, man, we get this vivid picture of a prodigal. It was me and you. Like that's the connecting point, right? Is this idea of we come to this realization of, man, we have squandered everything.
Yeah.
Like we've been lavish with things. God has gifted us with things, but when we didn't realize it, we were at our worst, right? And he welcomed us back with celebrating and with joy and with singing and with all of these things, right? And so the natural response is to live from that. It doesn't make sense to go, man, let me go back and keep living how I used to live, okay? So let's re-examine what we looked at a few weeks ago. Right? If I were to turn this slide off and we just had a moment right here, and I would ask you, okay, like, start having a conversation with somebody next to you about this idea of sin and death in Scripture. Do you feel comfortable that you could do that accurately? All right, and if you can't, right, then it's going to be important that we get on the same page or aligned scripturally. Man, when he's talking about sin, when he's saying, man, no, absolutely not, you can't live this way anymore. Like, don't you realize this is what was killing you? This is what was destroying relationships around you. Right? If we're not comfortable speaking in the way that the Bible teaches about this idea of literally missing the mark, a failure to love God or people in a way God intended us to, this condition rooted in our desires and selfish urges to act for our own benefit at the expense of others. It's really interesting. The more we look at this, the more we can see that, like, the normal way the world teaches us to interact in the world is this way. All right? Like, this is code for, man, you need to really take care of yourself. Okay, see, that's code to, man, you may live at the expense of others, but that's what you need to do. Okay, this is what the world is selling in this idea of what's produced from sin. Death, not primarily biological death, but relational and spiritual. Characterized, this is what death is characterized by: fear and insecurity and pain and shame and rejection and separation and hiding and loneliness. You know, how do we know that this is a thing in our world? Because there's like a gatrillion books written on this subject, promising you freedom. Promising, like, no. There are people in the world saying, no, we can, because people are so connected with these. And realizing, man, I am scared, insecure, I'm hurting, I feel ashamed, rejected, separated, lonely. All right? And the world is trying to go, here's five techniques so you don't feel that way anymore. And God is going, like, please pay attention. This is what happens, what sin does. This is what sin does. This is what sin produces here, okay? But here's the crazy thing, though. Here's why this is difficult. Sin doesn't always feel bad. Right? It's like, this is really the hard stuff. But it doesn't, like, if it is that bad, but it doesn't always feel bad. Right? So let's put it in different terms. If I were to go to my doctor and have, like, my normal annual exam, and he was like, well, tell me about what's going on. I'm like, well, I've been taking heroin. This year, I started heroin. Well, it's killing you. It makes me feel great. No, you're dying.
Wow.
Okay? No, but you understand, it gets me through hard times.
Right.
Okay?
Wow.
No, you don't understand. Like, just fill in the blank for whatever it is. I mean, heroin's an extreme, okay?
Yeah.
All right? But it's this idea of, no, I'm using medication in a way that it wasn't prescribed for. Why is that bad?
Yeah.
It's helping me. How can it be killing me?
Right?
But I'm in this relationship, and this person loves me, and I love this person. And why is that bad? It makes me feel good. All right? Because when we're talking about sin and death, the argument's not being made on how it makes you feel. It's an actual reality. So the extreme example that got all of our attention is the idea of, oh man, if you're taking heroin, it's crazy. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's killing you. But that's the same that's true with sin.
Right.
It's the same truth, okay? So here's the interesting thing is going all the way back, right, when Peter preached this idea, and when Brent was talking about today, repent and be baptized, this idea of one of the main takeaways is, man, how we think about sin has to change. All right, repent and be baptized, okay? The initial idea of repentance of making Jesus Lord and us not Lord. But this continual repentance, which the word literally means a change in how we think. Right? And that's where the rubber meets the road for us today.
Yeah.
It's the idea of, have we like entered into a place in our lives where we're realigning and rethinking and being challenged to rethink how we view sin? Right? Because simply being baptized just doesn't do the trick. It doesn't change all of these things. So we have this idea of repent. But here's the tough thing, okay? We may experience the effects of sin and death. And here's the deal. When we experience those, God isn't asking us to think in a different way so that we don't feel those things.
Right?
And here's the deal. Instead, we're to think differently about the choices we make, naming sin and taking personal responsibility for those choices while conforming to what he says about how we should live as new human beings. Right? You got to let that kind of sink in for a second. This is where our world stays, right here, is people experience the effects of sin, rejection, shame, isolation, loneliness, all of these different things. What can oftentimes happen in a Christian environment is we go, okay, here's the deal, is we need to start thinking about how I cannot feel that way anymore. But that's not what he's asking us to think differently about. He's asking us to think differently about the sin that is causing those things.
Right. Amen.
Right? Like that's a very fine line, but it's absolutely important that we consider that, okay? Now, here's the deal. Here's the crazy part. You're going, but I can suffer the effects of someone else's sin. That's true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like we can suffer the effects of other sin. That brings shame and rejection and isolation. And you know what's still crazy about that? Is we still have a choice.
Yeah.
Like that, I know that sounds hurtful almost, but it's absolutely true. That there still is a choice that remains to how we will decide to examine or to live into that. Okay? So again, just this idea of changing our thinking. The Bible writers have tried to do something to get us to like understand this. There's like lists of sin through the Bible. Unfortunately for us as people, we take the list of sin as like exhaustive lists.
Right?
I don't think the goal was to be exhaustive. I don't think that goal. But it was getting an idea of going, hey, can you put a name to what's going on? Can you examine yourself and go, okay, I see that. Okay, that I can connect myself with that. Right? And so when we're talking about this idea of sin will no longer have mastery over us, no longer live as a slave to sin, all right, that sin brings death, isolation, and shame, and loneliness, and rejection, and all of these things. This is what's important of looking at this and going, wow, some of this stuff is pretty rotten. But man, some of this stuff becomes our own coping mechanisms with life.
Yeah.
And when it becomes a coping mechanism, then all of a sudden we stop calling it sin. And there's no way that we can have the effects of death reversed if we're using sin to attack it. Okay? So whatever that is, right? I mean, sometimes we look at gossip or slander or pride or deceit or any of these things, they can become kind of our coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
Instead of going, man, these are things that are producing death inside of us. Remember the question that Paul asked, what did you reap? What benefits did you reap in practicing any of these things? What got better when there was envy? What got better when we were greedy? What got better when we were gossiping? What changed? What benefits came from that? And the answer is like absolutely none. Like nothing good came from these things. Okay? We're in the process here of these four chapters, chapters 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 in the book of Romans, of describing this very thing right here. Is the gospel is revealing a new way of being human. And actually how we live as human beings. That's what's so important about these teachings. Right? About our relationship with sin, our relationship with being a slave to God. This is kind of like talking about what our operating system is going to be like, okay? Does anybody have a computer that still runs off of Windows ME? Windows 98? You know? Whatever, Windows 3.1, that was my first laptop, Windows 3.1, okay? Here's the thing is your operating system has to get updated, right? And sometimes that's really, in so many ways, what Paul is talking about here is there's another way of living as a human being that is about sin and death. And he's saying, here's a new operating system. Is you have God, you have our King, you have Jesus, yeah. Right? And he's saying, here's a new way of looking at everything. A new way of looking at sin and a new way of looking at death, right? A new way of operating and interacting with one another. And that's ultimately, that's the question for all of us, right? Because my fear is that, man, sin can kind of like just reign in this kind of low-level, underground kind of way, right? That we don't really realize that, man, this thing is churning death inside of us. Right? The gospel reveals a new way of being human.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about us or have any questions, please visit clemsonfoothills.com. You can also text Foothills to 94000 to stay up to date on everything going on here at CFC.